insanity is sometimes defined as doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting different results. Sometimes we do just that. We keep doing the same things over and over, and then we wonder why nothing changes, why things don't get better. Well, we get stuck doing what we've always done in the same old ways that we've always done them. And we need to start going in a different direction. Somebody said, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always had. To get what you've never had, you need to do what you've never done. Nothing will change and things won't get better until you do things differently. So would you like your life to improve? Would you like things to change? Would you like your future to be better? Today, we continue the message that I began last Sunday. I know that with the holiday weekend, some of you were not able to be with us last week. But even if you were here, it's not a bad thing to hear again what God is saying to us. So we want to start with what we talked about previously, and then we want to go a little bit further. I said that the key to improving the future is you. The key to improving the future is you. And this applies not only to your own life, but it really also applies to your church. Do you want your church to change, to grow, to move into the future, into all that God has for us and all that He wants us to do and everything that He wants us to be? Well, again, the key to improving the future of our church and making it better is the power of God working in each and every one of you. If you want a better future, you must be willing to change and to do some things differently and to take the right steps toward a better future. Because you see, God wants us to look ahead to what He wants to do and what He can do in your life and in this place. God is interested in your future. God is looking at where you're going, not where you've been. God wants you to get past the past. God wants you to get past the past and move on to all that He has ahead for you. Now, we all know that you can't redo life, but you can learn from the past. We can all look back and wish we had done some things differently. But be the person that God made you today and become the person that He wants you to be for tomorrow. And know this, that everything that you do today will in some way affect your future. The text that we were looking at is found in the book of Jeremiah, prophetic book in the Old Testament. And we were looking at several verses in chapters 29, 30, and 31. We begin by returning again to chapter 29 of Jeremiah with verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Then continue into chapter 30, the opening verses. This is what the Lord, or this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you, for the days are coming, declares the Lord. I like that. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess, says the Lord. And then chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, and there is hope for your future. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. So again, these words are prophetic. It is God speaking to His people, the nation of Israel, who had spent a number of years in captivity in the land of Babylon as exiles, slaves of King Nebuchadnezzar. They had a rough past, a difficult present, and they desperately needed a better future. And here God is promising them just that. But the good news is that the words and the promises are not just for Israel, they're for you too. God's word is for you too today. Maybe you've had a rough past, maybe a difficult present, and you need a better future. Maybe you're stuck where you are and some things need to change and you need to move forward. God has more for you. I don't know if you heard that. God has more for you. Don't stay where you are. And this church cannot stay where it is, because God has much more for Gateway. So again, the title of my message is A Better Future. A Better Future, and this is part two. Do you want a better future? Do you want more for our church? Well, there's good news. I like sharing good news. No matter where you have been in the past or where you are today, just like for the people of Israel, there is hope for your future. If you want a better future, there's some important biblical principles to follow, some vital steps that you need to take. And so that's what we're going to continue to talk about today. We talked about the first few last week, and let's go over them again briefly before we move on into some additional things. The first step that you need to take is this: let God move on your heart. Let God move on your heart. The first and most important step to a better future is to hear from God. To hear God speak. To get His direction. Because God knows where we need to go. And He knows how to get there. So we need to listen. To let Him speak to you and pay attention to the voice of God. I think sometimes we do too much talking to God and not nearly enough listening to God, hearing from God, hearing God speak. Thank God that He listens to us. But I think sometimes He probably, while we're going on in prayer, I think He'd say, excuse me, can I get a word in edgewise for a minute? Because a lot of what you're dealing with would be taken care of if you'd listen to me, so I can tell you what to do. I mentioned last week that there's an old song that I heard that has a line that goes like this: God has a plan for your life. He's just waiting for you to ask Him for the map. God has a plan. He has a direction for you. He has a plan. He has a direction for Gateway. But we need to get a hold of God and ask Him for His direction. We need to get in the Word, spend time in prayer, seeking Him like never before. We need to respond to the leading and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let God move on you, my friend, and move you forward into all that He has for you. Let God touch your heart. I mean, how do we know where to go? How do we know what to do if we don't hear from God? I want to learn. I don't have all the answers. I want to grow because I'm not there yet. I want to change because I'm not nearly perfected yet. I want to move forward because I'm thankful for where God brought me, but I don't want to stay here. I want to move forward in God because I know God has more for me and I want what He has. How about you? Do you want God to do something in your life? How many want God to do something in your life? You got to hear His voice. And then you got to do what He says. See, God speaks to those who listen. God responds to those who want to hear Him. And He moves in the lives of those whose hearts are open to Him. With God, there's always hope for a better future. The best is ahead. Somebody say, the best is ahead. There's more to come. God always has more. He wants the best for us, and He has a better future for you. But do you want it? Do you want it enough to do whatever it takes to change whatever needs changing? To stop doing the same things and expecting different results. And maybe sometimes we need to overcome stagnation. Staying the same, remaining at the same place. We need to let the power of God move us forward in the direction that He has for you. Let God touch your heart. Listen for and hear His voice. Let Him show you the way forward. Let Him move you from where you are to where you need to be. Let Him move this church forward into all that He has for us. Because I know that God wants to do some new things. And I want to be a part of what God's doing. How about you? So we need to let God move on your heart. Secondly, as you are able, invest. Somebody say invest. As you are able, invest in what God is telling you to do. See, a lot of times we'll hear from God, He'll give us direction, then we don't do anything about it. We need to invest in what God is telling us to do. Turn with me to the book of Ezra. Chapters 1 and 2. Ezra. Those of you with smartphones are already there. Ezra chapter 1, verse 5. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, now watch it, everyone whose heart God had moved. You see it? Everyone whose heart God had moved prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. That's a powerful verse. Chapter 2, verses 68 and 69. When they arrived at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the heads of the families gave free will offerings toward the rebuilding of the house of God on its site. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for this work. There's gold, silver, and priestly garments. According to their ability, they gave for this work. You see, the first and most important thing was, in chapter 1, verse 5, God touched them and moved on their hearts. Nothing happens until we let God touch us and move on our hearts. But then, they didn't just say, I heard from God, bless God. Don't you wish you could hear from God? No, they prepared to go as God moved them. And then they gave freely according to their ability. Here's what I pray. I pray that God will move on each of our hearts to do all that He's called us to do, and to give what He's asked us to give according to what He has given us. Here it is. You ready? How many are ready? Ready. The future doesn't get better unless you invest in it. The future doesn't get better unless you invest in it. Somebody said, whatever I work on improves. Whatever I neglect gets worse. Whatever I work on improves. Whatever I neglect gets worse. You see, every great thing comes down to some hard work. Well, you just left me out, Pastor. Well, then things aren't going to get better. Every good thing, every great thing comes down to hard work. If you're not willing to invest and do the hard work in your life for a better future, guess what? It won't happen. If we're not willing to invest in our church and work hard at the ministry, the church won't change, it won't grow, it won't get better. We need to work and invest together. Together. Whatever it takes to get the job done for Jesus. Whatever you want to see improve, invest in that area. You want your relationships to improve, invest in them. You want your home to improve, invest in it. You want your marriage to improve, invest in it. Don't just complain about the other person. Invest in your marriage. Don't just complain about things. Invest in making them better. You want your kids, your grandkids, your family to get better. Invest in it. You want your walk with God to get better. Invest in it. You want the ministry to get better. Invest in it. What do you want to see change? What do you want to improve? What things do you want to get better? Are you investing in what needs to change in your life? Are you investing in what needs to change at this church? How are you investing in what God is telling you to do? What do you have? What can you use to make things better? To make your life better? To make someone else's life better? To make the church better? We need to use all that God has given us. What can you do? What can you give? How can you serve to make a difference? How are you investing in the kingdom of God? Invest in what you want to see get better. Number three, begin by building the altar of your life. Begin by building the altar of your life. Now we're reading about the exiles that had returned in the book of Ezra. They heard from God. God touched their hearts. They prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Then they gave, they did something about it. Free will offerings according toward the rebuilding of the house of the Lord according to their ability. Let's go a little bit further in chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, the first three verses. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled as one man. See, they did it together. They assemble as one man. They were united. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to what? Build the altar of the God of Israel. First thing they did, they began to build the altar of the Lord, to sacrifice burnt offerings on it in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses. Verse 3, despite their fear of the people around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. The road to a better future starts at the altar. The road to a better future starts at the altar. Before they began to rebuild the temple, they first rebuilt the altar of God. See, that altar was more important than the whole structure. We have a beautiful facility. Thank God for those who built it and sacrificed toward it. Beautiful facility that we're so blessed with. Most important place in this entire facility, on this entire property, is right here. This is where everything starts. Before they began to rebuild the temple, they first rebuilt the altar of God. My friend, if you want to see your life change, you want to see the church move forward, you can't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit move in your heart. You can't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit move you to the altar. The place where things begin to happen is at the altar of your life, where you can come wanting and expecting. Somebody say expecting. How many of us are expecting? I don't mean that you're 8 months pregnant, but you should be expecting. When you come to church, you should expect to meet God. When you come to the altar, you should expect God to move and do something in your life. If God moves according to our expectations, how much will He be moving? A move of God always begins with prayer. By praying for things to get better. Praying for God to have His way. You want your life to get better? Pray. You want your church to get better? Pray. We already read in Ezra 3:3, despite their fear of the people around them, they built the altar of the Lord. We can't be afraid of people, of others, of what other people will think. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to get a hold of God, and I want to get a hold of Him right now. I need more of God, and this church needs more of God. Don't let fear keep you from what God wants to do and will do in your life. This altar is a place where you can meet God, where you can hear from God. It's a place where God moves, a place where change takes place. It's a place where new things happen, where change begins in your heart and life. We begin by rebuilding the altar of your life. Let's go on to some more stuff. It gets gooder. Step number four. Start to lay the right foundation. Start to lay the right foundation. They're building some new houses in our neighborhood. But I happen to notice that they don't start by putting up the structure. They start with the foundation. What would happen if they just come and start putting up walls? See, people want to build a house. They want to build their life. They want things to get better, but they don't have a foundation. Continue on in Ezra, chapter 3, verse 6. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. Verses 10 through 12. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with the trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with the cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as described by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good, His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise of the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept out loud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, and many others shouted for joy. Before they began work, they sought God at the altar. But then they got up. Hope you're catching this. They sought God at the altar, but then they got up. And they got to work. Starting with a foundation. The point is this. When God speaks, we must rise up and begin to build as He directs. What God does at the altar, what He does in your heart, must be followed by action. You know, some people come to the altar, they spend time in prayer seeking God, and they get up and they walk out and they go home and nothing changes. Rather, we need to make a commitment to begin doing what God tells us to do. By going in the direction that He shows us. By putting into practice what God tells you to do and begin making changes in your life as He directs. Let God show you the way forward, then start moving in that direction. The key is this. The foundation to building a better future is making good choices. The foundation to building a better future in your life is making the right choices starting tomorrow. No. Starting today. You know, a lot of problems in our lives and difficulties in our past and our present is simply the result of poor choices that we've made. How many have ever made some poor choices? Choices that have taken us the wrong way. Well, the good news in Jesus is yesterday's gone. The past is in the past. But if we go to God and we get His direction, that will help us to make better choices in the future. I know that there was a particular time in my life when I wasn't where God wanted me to be. I had decided to go my own way and do my own thing. I knew better. How was that working out for me? Not very well. And I finally spent time with God, humbling myself before the Lord, broken before God, and saying, God, I need to get back to where I need to be. I need to be the person that You want me to be. And what did I do? I sought God's direction. God, where do I need to go? How do I get back? How do I move forward? I sought His direction. And I also was led to seek godly counsel from my pastor. This coming week, I'm going to spend an afternoon with my pastor back in Pennsylvania. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to say, Pastor, what do I need to do? What changes do I need to make? How can I do some things better? I want to know. I sought God's direction. I sought godly counsel from my pastor. And I made a commitment to grow, to change, a commitment to follow His advice, to make some real changes in my life. And I allowed myself to be held accountable for doing the right thing. Listen, a better way, a way to a better tomorrow is making better choices today. A better future, you ready for this? You're not getting tired of me, are you? How many are ready? Okay, good. You're still with me. A better future is a matter of motion and direction. A better future is a matter of motion and direction. What direction are you going in? What direction are you going in? Are you moving forward? Or are you staying in the same place? Or are you moving backward? Are you moving? And what direction are you moving in? You know, a ship is an interesting thing. I know we have some Navy folks. Amen. A ship is an interesting thing. It doesn't turn on a dime, does it? It takes a while to turn a ship. But the thing that's interesting about a ship is it has to be moving in order to turn. Am I right? I was a ground pounder. I was a soldier. Okay, but I think I know enough about ships to know that a ship that is dead in the water isn't going to be able to turn. Right? If it's not moving, the ship can't steer. The rudder won't work. Doesn't matter which way you turn that rudder. What do they call it? Port and starboard? Doesn't matter which way. If it's not moving, it's not going to turn. Somebody once said this. I love this quote. It's a lot easier to steer a moving ship. It's a lot easier to steer a moving ship. That's why I often say, you know, maybe there's somebody, they're not moving exactly in the direction they need to go, but at least they're moving forward. And when they're moving forward, they can be steered. If you want to be steered in the right direction, you got to first be moving. Are you moving? Are you moving? Are you moving for Jesus? Are you going somewhere? Are you moving forward in God? Do you need to start? Do you need to get moving and start turning your ship around? It's crucial. If you want to build a better future, start laying the right foundation. Build your life. Build your future according to God's plans, not your own. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God will always lead you to hope and to a future that's better than your past. But you've got to build your life on the knowledge and the practice of God's Word and live according to His instructions. You need to take full advantage of the firm foundation that He offers you. Take advantage of everything that's available to you here at Gateway. Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, times of prayer, times of sharing together. Because we all need to keep going and growing in Christ and His Word. It works like this. You growing in Christ will make the church grow. You moving forward will make the church move forward. The church will grow as we grow and lay the right foundation together. One more point. Number five. The next step for a better future is live in the present, but move toward the future. Live in the present, but move toward the future. You know, we need to know where we came from. We need to know where we came from. But we can only live where we're going. And that's true both for the church and for you personally. It's important to appreciate the good things from the past, but not to remain in the past. It's good to remember where God has brought you from. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It's good to remember where God brought you from. But know this, God isn't finished with you yet. He has more. He's not finished with you, and He's not finished with this church. He wants to do a new thing in this church and a new thing in you. He wants to move us forward to better days, to look ahead, not back. Some people just want to remember, or they want to go back to the good old days. You know, my little grandson, Gavin, last year he was in first grade, and he was given a little assignment to write a little story for school. And he was told to write about an older person. Guess who he picked as his older person to write about? His papa. Me. And when he was done, he brought his paper and let me see it. And I remember one of the things that said, "When my papa was a boy, there were no Starbucks." There was no Starbucks. I guess he could not conceive of a world without Starbucks. You know, there are some great memories of the past. Thank God. But listen, you cannot recapture what was. You need to make better what is. I got to say that again. You cannot recapture what was. You need to make better what is. One thing we must learn, that with God, the future can always be better. I want what God has for us, what God has ahead of us, to go where He's taking us. How about you? And I close with this. You build a better future by moving past your past. You build a better future by moving past your past. Now maybe your past was not good at all. Maybe you've had a painful past. Maybe your past contained a lot of mistakes. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter to God. That He has a good plan and a better future for you. Even if you've made a lot of mistakes in the past, no, you can't unmake them. But you don't have to make them again in the future. You might have made a lot of mistakes, but they can be forgiven. And they can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you can start to make better choices today and lay a foundation for a better future. So do you need to leave the past and move forward in God? Do you want things to change, to get better in your life? Do you need to start going in a different direction? Please remember that you are the key to your future. You are the key to the future of Gateway. You must want things to get better. You must be willing to change and do some things differently. Be willing to invest and to work hard and to take the right steps toward a better future. We cannot value the past over the future. We cannot value old things over the new things that God wants to do. Because God wants all of us to look ahead to what He wants to do, what He can do in your life and in this church. God's interested in the future, in your future. Where you're going, not where you've been. God has a better future for you. God has a better future for our church. Let God move on your heart. Invest in what He's telling you to do. Begin by building the altar of your life. Start to lay the right foundation. Live in the present, but move toward the future. Could I ask you for a moment so we consider the Word of God, the Spirit speaking to us at this moment? Could I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, to minister to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a couple questions quickly. The first question is there anybody here that you would slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me? Because I've been going the wrong way. And I want to turn around. And I want to head in the right direction in my life. I want to head toward Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus." Maybe for the first time you've never done it before. Or maybe you have done it before and you've kind of gone on a detour. You've kind of gone your own way and you want to come back. Is there anybody here? You slip up your hand right now. I'm not going to wait long. Yes, God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Is there anybody else? I want to turn toward Jesus. Yes, God bless you. Is there anybody else? My second question. Is there anybody who would slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me because I need some things to turn around in my life. I need some things to get better. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to hear from God, to invest in what needs to get better." Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over the place. God bless you. Is there anybody else? I need some things to get better in my life. Yes, God bless you. And I know that only God can do it. Now I want to ask, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God's moving in this place. Now as you lift up your head, and Stu's going to put on a song in a moment, I want to ask you to do the next thing. The next thing. You've acknowledged that you need God to do something in your life. You've raised your hand. Now you need to take some action. You need to change your physical position. And that means you need to get up, out from your pew, out from where you're sitting, and you need to come up to this altar. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to Gateway. You're coming to Jesus. So I want to encourage you right now, if you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, but you should have, I want to ask you to come. If you're physically able to come, I'm going to ask you to come right now. You raise your hand, I want to ask you to come. I want to pray with you. Come on down. There's a number of you. Raise your hands. I want to pray with you right now. We'll wait just for another minute. Come on down. You raise your hand, or even if you didn't. Come on down. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you right now. And I want to ask you to repeat this prayer with me. If you mean it from your heart, you pray this prayer to God. He's here. He's here right now. He's here for you. He's listening. I want to ask you to repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, out loud, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my need for Jesus. I come to you right now. I turn my heart. I turn my life completely over to you. I give you control. I know Jesus. You died for my sins. And you rose again to give me new life. I confess my sins. I acknowledge my mistakes, but I ask you to forgive me, to wash away my past and to give me a brand new future. Lord, I need your help. I need to hear from you. I need you to show me the right way to go. And I need you to give me the strength to make better choices. Lord, I turn it all over to you right now. I want a better future. I want your way and your will for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for forgiving me, for changing me. And I want to follow you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to ask Stu to turn on a song in just a second. The altars are going to be open for everyone to come. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've come back to Jesus, I'd like you to come and tell me, okay? As I'm kind of hanging around the front here. But if you come, please continue to pray and seek the Lord. And let's just have a beautiful time at the altar, allowing God to minister to us. And everyone is welcome to come. Stu, would you turn on a song? God bless you. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Jesus. He is everything you seek. Just come to Jesus. He is everything you need, more than the air you breathe today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.